I just want to show you that I know how to use PowerPoint. Okay. We've talked yesterday about the six loving exchanges. What are those? Sadati, Pratigrinati, Adyati, Sushiti. To give something and accept something, to give some prasadam, accept some prasadam, then reveal the mind confidentially and hear confidentially. These are the six loving exchanges. Now, to apply these exchanges, we need to select the proper persons with whom to reciprocate, or we need to know how to reciprocate with different kinds of persons. Persons means devotees, because we discussed yesterday that these six reciprocations are meant for devotees. You shouldn't intimately mix with the Mayavadis, the Karmis, the Gyanis. So these reciprocations are meant for devotees, and we should know how to deal with different kinds of Vaishnavas. Now, to start off, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, in his doctoral dissertation, makes a useful observation by noting that qualifications can be seen as either digital or analog. Digital means either on or off. Either one or zero. Right? A digital switch is either yes or no. On or off, one or zero. And analog involves gradations. Your volume setting on your tape player. Analog. So, digitally, for example, if you have a loudspeaker, this is a primitive loudspeaker over here. If you have a loudspeaker, the digital question is it on or is it off? And the analog question is, how many decibels? How loud is it? Is it loud? Very loud? Inaudible? Okay? So these same categories can be applied spiritually. We can view spiritual qualifications in these two categories. This is not coming from Shastra, it's coming from Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, but it's useful. In terms of spiritual qualification, digitally, you're either initiated or you're not initiated. Right? You're either in the sampradaya or you're not. So the digital qualifications are simple to decide. They're simple to decide. For some people, you have to be an Indian to be qualified. You know, I want a guru who's an Indian. So that's real easy. You're either Indian or you're not Indian. You're either born in a Brahmin family or you're not. You're either a Goswami by birth or you're not. You're either born a Brajvasi or you're not. The answer is either yes or no. So those are digital qualifications. Real easy to tell. Real easy to tell. But the analog qualifications are more judgment calls. They're more subtle. Does one have strong faith? Does one have exalted vision? Is one fully dedicated? Is he pure in heart? Is he compassionate? Those are, you know, what, well, what should I tell? Well, on a scale of 1 to 10? Yeah, well, I guess he's more compassionate than some people and less compassionate than other people. Sometimes he seems compassionate, but I don't know. Is he strict in his spiritual practices? Well, kind of. Or very. Or not all the time. It's analog. You know, you turn the dial and, you know, you put it up to 8 or down to 2 or up to 10. But it's not just on or off. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Always nice to know we're making sense. It does make sense. Okay. Now, moving forward. Prabhupada therefore says, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. Especially when you're dealing with things that are not just on or off. Like, it's easy to tell, well, he's a Brijbasi. That's easy, yes or no. But is he spiritually on target? Well, okay. That requires careful discrimination. Now, let's see. I want to keep 3 or 4 things open at once. That next slide. Interesting. Yeah. Now, Srila Prabhupada tells us that this verse is meant to help us interact with 3 kinds of devotees. What are they? Yeah, Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. 3 levels of eligibility. Adhikar means eligibility, and Adhikari is a person who has eligibility. So there's neophyte eligibility, intermediate eligibility, and exalted eligibility. The neophytes are also called Prakrita Bhaktas. Prakrita means?
Materialistic.
They're still not out of the woods. They're still affected by the material energy to some extent. Or the influence of the material energy is still quite visible. But they are devotees. Now, the purport discusses these 3 kinds of devotees, but notice, if you will, that it distinguishes between them in different ways. The scales are different. In Upadeshamrita, what's a third class devotee? Yep, class?
One who chants and has Harinam initiation.
One who chants and has Harinam initiation. Someone who's chanting Hare Krishna is counted as an eligible devotee. He's eligible for devotional service. He's chanted, and here it's indicated he's received Harinam initiation. It may be useful for you to know, if you don't already know, that when we speak of initiation, our terminology is a little bit different from our colleagues in the other mutts here in Mayapur and elsewhere. When they speak of initiation, what do they mean? They mean what we call second initiation. It means you've received the Gayatri Mantra, the sacred thread. We call that second initiation. They call it simply initiation or Diksha. And what we usually call first initiation is they call Nam, or receiving the holy name of Krishna. So there's a distinction. We say, is he initiated? Yeah, he's initiated. But he may not be initiated as far as they're concerned. He's initiated if he's received the Gayatri Mantra. Otherwise, he's only gotten Nam. So there's sometimes some question, anyway, it gets into misunderstandings sometimes about who's initiated and who's not. But it's just a question of straightening out the nomenclature, the terminology. So, in the beginning, a person who's got na, or first initiation, Krishneti yasya hiritam manasadhyeta. He's counted as third class, and the second class devotee, according to Upadeshamrita. Okay, guys. Yes? Dikshasti yat pranatibhis tad pajanta nisha. He's gotten diksha, second initiation, and he's doing bhajan. He's following the rules and regulations. He's practicing the principles of devotional service. We've talked about 64 items of devotional service. We talked about chanting a certain number of rounds, following four regulative principles. These are all required, or these are all part and parcel of what's involved in diksha. One receives initiation, and one is engaged in bhajan. So then he's considered madhyam, second class. And first class? One who's advanced in devotional service. Which means, yes?
He's being from the habit of criticizing.
Yeah. He doesn't criticize others. He's freed from that. His heart, kridam, is free from ninda, anya ninda, criticizing others, adi, and so on. Not only that, but all the other stuff that comes with it. His heart is pure. These are the three categories of devotees according to Upadeshamrita. Third class, second class, and first class. Okay? Shunya. Nindari Shunya. His heart is completely free. Zero. Anya Vilashita Shunya. Shunya means zero. You, even in ordinary, 108 or something, that O is Shunya. Zero. Okay. These things are described here, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the teachings to Sanatana Goswami, and in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which we've just studied, haven't we? The neophyte devotee, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttamadhikaris are differently described. What are they described in terms of? Faith and knowledge. So what's a third class devotee? Pliable faith. Komala Shraddha. Komala Shraddha. His faith is soft. And what else? He doesn't know very much. Knowledge is kind of not really there, and his faith is really soft. Somebody can come along and say, I don't know why you're wasting your life this way. There's no salvation outside of Jesus. And he thinks, oh. Really? No, Krishna. No, Jesus. And he's, now I don't know. Yes. You're talking something else now. We're talking about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's not mentioned. Nothing about deity worship. Faith and knowledge. His faith is weak and his knowledge is scanty. Second class devotee. His knowledge is intermediate. He's not devoid of knowledge, but he can be beaten in a fight. He may sometimes not be able to offer scriptural evidence for his assertions. He may sometimes not understand something clearly. He generally knows the philosophy, but his knowledge is not perfect. And his faith, just mentioned?
Yes, strong faith.
He has good faith. He has strong faith. Even if you defeat him in an argument, he'll say, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to go back and ask such and such Maharaj, you know, because there's an answer. I just don't know what the answer is. I'll get back to you tomorrow, okay? He's not fazed. Uh-oh, maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I should. Uh-oh. His faith is not pliable and soft like that. He's got good, strong faith, but his knowledge is not perfect. He may sometimes need to ask some superior devotee for reinforcements or guidance or enlightenment on the philosophy. And first class? His knowledge is complete. And his faith?
Strong.
Strong. Deep, strong faith. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shadavan jan hoy bhakti adhikari utta madhya kanishta shraddha anusari. The eligible persons in devotional service are considered in these three categories, shraddha anusari, according to their faith. Shastra yuktye sunipuna dritta shraddha yar uttamadhikari she tariye sansar. Person who has strong expert knowledge from shastras and deep faith is the uttamadhikari. Shastra yukto chunipuna sarvata dritta nishtraya prauta shraddho dhikari ya sabhakta uttamo mata bhakti rasamrita sindra. Nipuna nana shastra vicharane kanipuno. Nipun means expert. Expert in shastras. And sarvata dritta nishtraya. Deep, strong faith. Nishtra. Nishtraya. Certainty. Nishtray. Just in Hindi we say nishtray. Is that for sure? Nishtray. Definitely. Nishtray. Convinced. No doubt about it. Sabhakta bhuttamo madhama. He is first class devotee. Kauta shraddha. Deep, strong faith. Shastra yukti nahi jane dritta shraddhavan. Madhyamari karishe mahabhagyavan. Here's a very fortunate person. Mahabhagyavan. He doesn't have strong shastric knowledge. Shastra yukti nahi. But he has strong faith. So he's Madhyamadhikari. Ya shastradish vanipuna shraddhavan satu madhyam bhaktirasamriti sindhu. He has faith, shraddhavan, but in the shastras, anipuna, just the opposite, not so expert.
Can we say that the second class devotee is weakened because of the faith? His faith is somehow blind?
No, it's not blind. It's not blind. He has some faith. And the faith is in terms of what he's heard from Shastra. But he's not so expert. His faith is reasonable. It's not just, I believe. Krishna's Lord. No. He's heard from Shastra. He's got reasons. He could tell you the reasons. He could quote some verses for you. He could give you good arguments. But not so expert. He's not expert. Just like I know how to use a computer. So it's not that I'm illiterate. I'm computer literate, but I'm not expert. I can't take it apart and put it back together and make it dance and do all the things that an expert could do. I'm an ordinary user. Someplace in the middle. I'm not, you know. How do you save a file? I'm not that dumb, but I'm not up at the top level. I'm someplace in the middle. I have a certain amount of knowledge, and I have faith that you can do it somehow or other if you're expert.
Just one example, trying to categorize it. So one devotee stands there, he's been carrying around for months, and he's been associated with devotees to preach to him, all the time. And he seems to be doing okay, until one day somehow he got into the topic of, and some devotees preaching to him, they told him that, actually, Radharani is married to Abhimanyu. And there was this, actually he couldn't understand. It's Krishna, How can he be married to someone else?
Well, the first thing is whoever was preaching to him was an expert. Why drag Abhimanyu into this?
He's spoken to so many monarchs, and so many senior devotees. In fact, explained to Abhimanyu's position or Krishna, so many things, but he just cannot get over this. How can Krishna? So I guess he'd be like someone in third class whose faith was very, very soft in Bible.
So it seems.
Yeah.
And it's also lack of discrimination on the part of the preacher. You're not this body, and Radharani is actually married to Radharani. Why drag these topics in for the neophyte devotee? These things are for discussion among the advanced devotees. For the beginning devotees, you're not this body. Life is meant for spiritual realization. We have to control the mind. We have to control the senses. We have to reduce our attachments. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't find any mention of Abhimanyu and Radharani. Nor in the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth.
I think you're trying to use some analogy. I can't remember the details, but you're trying to use some analogy as an example.
There you go. So if our faith is weak, just for example, we found some devotees when Srila Prabhupada said that the moon thing never happened. We found devotees leaving in flocks. We had discussing the other day that when Prabhupada was here, it was so easy because everyone had faith in Prabhupada. Like hell, they did up to a point. Some did, some didn't, and the ones who did, sometimes to some extent, it was too much. No, we saw it on television. How could they not have gone to the moon? Fifth canto hadn't been published. But if it had been, that would have been worse. How could this be, how could the moon be further away than the sun? Oh no, I'm going to bloop. So that's weak faith. They don't understand the what's being said from Shastra. And they'll leave over it too. So that's weak faith. And the second class devotee, he may not understand it so well. He may not have the map of the universe down so clearly in his vision. But he knows it's right. It's in Bhagavatam, it's right. That's all. And Yahar Komala Shraddha Se Kanishta Jan Krame Krame Teho Bhakta Hoybe Utta. The person who has weak faith, soft faith, is a Kanishta Adhikari, but step by step, krame krame, such a person can become an Uttam Adhikari. You don't have to be born Uttam Adhikari. If you're Kanishta, then go step by step by step. We discuss those steps in Nectar of Devotion, and you can become also Uttam. Yo bhavet komala shraddha sa kanishto nigadhi. A person with soft faith is called a Kanishta Adhikari. So that's according to Chaitanya Charita. And to make things more... Yes?
Because it's the Kanishta Adhikari is only interested in worshipping the deities.
Now you're talking something else again. We're just getting to your subject. In fact, that's Bhagavatam. We've discussed Upadeshamrita, what's first, second, and third from Upadeshamrita. Now we've discussed first, second, and third according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, which follows Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now, what does Bhagavatam say? What's third class according to Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
You're on.
Is that only interesting question?
Yeah. He's a deity worshipper. But he doesn't have appreciation for other devotees. He sees himself and God. Himself and the deity. But he doesn't know how to regard other devotees. He doesn't have them in the picture. It's just me and Krishna. He's called third class. And second class? Yeah?
In this English, there are four categories: the Lord, the devotees, Bhima, and innocent.
And? Innocent. Yeah, he distinguishes. See, the Lord is worshipable. Then there are the devotees to make friends with. There are the innocent to preach to, and the demons to avoid. So he's called second class. And first class? What's the vision of a first class devotee? Sees Krishna everywhere.
Yeah, he's very serious, strictly following.
Oh, you're just reading. Get out of here. According to Bhagavatam, you're not even reading the right place.
Everyone is a devotee.
He sees everyone as a devotee. He sees Krishna and everyone, everyone in Krishna. He sees that everyone's engaged in the service of the Lord. That's his vision. That's his vision, according to Bhagavatam.
Does he also see himself as the...
Yeah, you see, everyone's engaged in the service of Krishna except me. This is described in Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. Sarva bhuteshu ya pashyet bhagavat bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavat yatman yesha bhagavatottamaha ishare tad adhineshu valisheshu rishatsu cha prema maitri kripoteksha yakaroti sa madhyam archayam eva horiye pujam yashradhaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smita. He's called prakrita, third class devotee. Who's that? He doesn't see the other devotees. Natad bhakteshu chanyeshu. He only sees the Lord is worshipable, archayam eva hariye, pujam yashradhaye. He has faith that Krishna is worshipable, but not these other people. I'm worshipping God. What do I have to do with these people? And ishure tad adhineshu balisheshu. Balisheshu means the childish, innocent people. Vishatsu, the envious. Prema maitri kripopeksha. Accordingly, he loves them, or he makes friends with them, or he is merciful to them. The innocent, he's merciful to. The devotees, he's friendly with. The Lord, he worships. And the demons, he ignores. He ignores. Let's see if I've got further discussion about this. I do, but let's see if it's in my mind or someplace here. Yes, I do. I don't have it here, so I'll talk about it a little bit. The Prakrita Bhakta is not so much appreciated in Bhagavatam. In the third canto, I think it's third canto, Lord Kapildev says the person who is worshipping the Lord and has no appreciation of the devotees of the Lord is like someone who's performing a sacrifice by offering ghee into the ashes. Instead of offering ghee to the fire, he's pouring ghee into ashes. So it's not very much appreciated, but something is there. He's worshipping the Lord. Yes.
It appears to me that there's a contradiction actually. in these different angles from different scriptures?
Well, we're going to get to that. First, let's get down what they are, according to these different, you know, each one within its own realm, before we start comparing them. These are all measures, you know, just like centigrade and Fahrenheit, and they're different measure ways of measuring, or they're different, taking in different into account different features. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, your faith. In Bhagavatam, your dealings, who you respect and how you deal with others. And in Upadeshamrita, did you get the holy name? Did you get initiation? Are you an advanced devotee? So they're calculated. You're first, second, and third. You know, if we say somebody's first class, why is he first class? He's always polite. He's always deals nicely with people. He's second class. He doesn't dress very nicely. He doesn't know how to deal with people very nicely. But and third class, you know, that's one first, second, third class. And another first class is he speaks very nicely. He has a loud voice. He leads kirtan very nicely. This person, you know, he's like, doesn't speak. You know, you can measure it by different calculations. What's first class? What's second class? What's third class? So there are different, you know, there are different yardsticks being used here. They're not measuring the same way and looking at the same thing. You know, like we think this is a first class house because it's big. The second class house because it's, you know, middle sized. And that one's third class because it's small. Or, well, that one's first class because it's brick. That's second class because it's wood. And that's third class because it's straw. Different ways of looking at it. This, so Prakrita Bhakta, Prabhupada, so the standard is Madhyamanikara. We should not remain Prakrita Bhakta. Now, taking things a bit further. Yeah? Question here? It's 11th canto. These are all 11th canto.
Yeah.
Second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's texts 45 through 47. And if you want to look them up in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22, 72 through 74. Very often quoted verses.
Mm-hmm.
11:45-47. Yes.
The question of the Kanishtha Kala, sorry, only worshipping the deity in the temple. So how is it possible that a Kanishtha Kala, like a non-initiated deity, can only do this worship?
Different yardstick. According to Upadeshamrita, he's not, you know, he can't be, he's got to be at least second class because he's initiated, because he's worshipping the deity. But according to Bhagavatam, you can be initiated and be absolutely third class. He's initiated, but he doesn't see anyone but himself in the deity. He is third class. This is what happens with different categories. Again, the house, according to one calculation, is first class because it's big. But according to another calculation, it's third class because it's strong. For those who don't like straw houses, which is quite nice from another way of looking. So you'll look at these and say, oh, it's contradictory. But things are being measured according to different criteria. Not the same. It's the same first class, second class, third class, but the way we're looking at it is different. There are different measures being applied. Any other question here? Okay. To make things more interesting, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary, distinguishes the three grades of devotees in another way. Is that in the purport? I don't recall. Someone, yes? No, that's something else again. That's also true. You've got a hit, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You don't have the answer to the question. Okay. He says that someone who's chanted even once is a beginner. He's a Kanishadhikari. And someone who chants constantly is an intermediate devotee. And what's a first class devotee?
Someone who appears somewhere, does.
Yeah, when you see him, you chant. That's first class. First class, third class, he chants, he's chanted even once. Second class, he's always chanting. And first class, you see him, you chant. Jahar darshane mukhe aise Krishna nam tahare janiha tumi Vaishnav pratan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, a first class Vaishnav is he whose very presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. Here is a further description from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur of a Mahabhagavat. He says, let's see, four, yeah. No, where do I want to be? Oh, I see. Some of these yellows didn't get there. What have I got coming next? Yes. So this is Mahabhagavat. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if an observer immediately remembers the holy name of Krishna upon seeing a Vaishnav, that Vaishnav should be considered a Mahabhagavat, a first class devotee. Such a Vaishnav is always aware of his Krishna conscious duty, and he's enlightened in self-realization. He's always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and this love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he's always awake to transcendental realization, and because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything as being connected with Krishna. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav has the transcendental eyes to see who's sleeping under the spell of Maya, and he engages himself in awakening sleeping conditioned beings by spreading the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus, the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyamadhikari Vaishnav can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. It is therefore said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lohake yavat sparshi hema nahi kore, tabat sparsha mani keha chinite na kore. One cannot understand the value of touchstone until it turns iron into gold. One should judge by action, not by promises. A Mahabhagavat can turn a living entity from abominable material life to the Lord's service. This is the test of a Mahabhagavat. I'm going to back up a moment and throw this at you. This is just a comparative chart of first class, second class, and third class. And of course, there's another column that should be there for Upadeshamrita. These are, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So you can see, we've criteria are differently stated. Any questions about that? Yes.
I don't know if this is connected actually to my question, but sometimes it says that the guru can be also Mahadi.
That's you're racing ahead. I asked if there were any questions about this, not about that. We'll get to things, don't worry. Yeah.
If we make a connection to the tree, is that for
if you make a connection?
Yeah.
Are they interrelated? Well, they're related by the terms first class, second class, and third class. They're related because they are all describing different stages of advancement: beginner, medium, and exalted. But they're different measurements. Is it always that everything clicks as being, well, if he's first class according to one standard, third class according to one standard, is he third class according to other? We just looked at that, didn't we? We saw that you could be first class, third class, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, but not knowing how to regard other devotees, and be second class according to Upadeshamrita, because you're initiated and doing bhajan.
I guess my question is more like, when to apply which?
Well, good question. I don't have an answer.
And everyone can do it. We can just use all the criteria. If you want to say which category, because if somebody wanted to read across the page, we can still draw in the strong page, which is the Lord. We can use maybe all the criteria, not just try to find the one that gives us the highest level.
Yeah, highest score, you know. They have you know, different columns, and you get scored according to this, and according to that. You can score people differently, if you like, according to these different criteria. I must be a second class, I must be a Madhyamadikari,
yeah,
because I've gotten initiation.
Yeah.
But you might be, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, a Paka Kanishta. Or you might be initiated, but do you chant the holy name of the Lord constantly? You know? Yes?
For a lot of movements, then maybe to the people who are very influential in making many disciples, who all think they have that. So.
Yeah. There's another, you know, yardstick that an Uttamadhikari is known by the ability to make many, many disciples. But so is a person who's in spiritual trouble. We read that in Nectar of Devotion. What's one of the things that you're advised not to do?
Collect disciples.
Atyahara. Atyahara, collecting too much. And the comment is in Nectar of Devotion that one, if one becomes carried away by having a lot of disciples or a lot of money coming one's way or that sort of thing, then one doesn't have a very high grade of devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada said in the beginning, we mentioned it, that one has to select proper persons with careful discrimination. With careful discrimination. It's not simply an on or off switch here. It requires careful discrimination. Okay, he's got lots of disciples. He must be an Uttamadhikari. As you said, we found that that was disproven by historical evidence. On the other hand, it may be. It may be. Why does he have so many disciples? Because he's an Uttamadhikari. He's got spiritual potency. Any other questions here so far? Yes.
I consider that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explanation, first class, Uttamadhikari, it's a stronger criteria than the others.
Yeah, you can. We'll get different descriptions of a Mahabhagavat, and we'll see that as we read along. Some places the just like pure devotee, we discussed pure devotee before. We found that it went from anything that like a beginning neophyte up to the topmost paramhansa. So that word pure devotee is sometimes used to mean different things. Similarly, first class devotee. What does it mean? It means different things at different times according to who's saying it and what criteria they're applying.
Yes. It can be applied for Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, all the first class criteria apply to Srila Prabhupada, as far as I'm concerned.
Especially.
Yeah, if you look at Srila Prabhupada, you'll find everything's first class. His expertise in Shastra, his conviction in faith, his vision, how he sees everyone, his influence in making everyone else chant Hare Krishna, his freedom from envy and offensiveness. You know, by any criteria, Srila Prabhupada was first class. Any reasonable criteria. Yes?
I would like to ask you, what does it mean that he chanted the holy name in one?
That's what it means, just as it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's considered, he's Adhikari, Bhakta Adhikari. He's chanted even once. He's a devotee.
With offenses.
Huh?
He can chant with offenses.
Offenses, not offenses, he chanted. Out of millions and millions and millions and millions of people, this guy chanted. He's a devotee.
I've got everyone to chant except you. Will you please chant all my name? Tomorrow I'll chant the holy name of Hari, and then Gadadhar jumped up and down. You chanted the holy name of Hari.
Just keep doing it. Yeah. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that someone who's chanted even once is considered a devotee. Okay. Yes.
It also says that for reaching monastic vedanta.
That's also there. Do you look at Srila Prabhupada and you'll say, actually, he's a second class devotee, because he's not acting with everyone as if they were all, you know, perfectly engaged. He's friendly with the devotees. He's merciful to the ignorant. He's worshiping the Lord, and he's completely ignoring the demonic, having nothing to do with the demons. He's a second class devotee. And we'll talk about that. These were the qualifications mentioned of a Mahabhagavat by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Awakens remembrance of the holy name in everyone, always aware of his duties in Krishna consciousness, enlightened in self-realization, always in love with Krishna. Then here's another description. This is from the purport. Out of many such Vaishnavas, those who are initiated and engaged in service, Prabhupada is talking about, out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found who is very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as an Uttamadhikari, a highly advanced devotee and his association should always be sung. So that's another definition of Mahapadma. And if you'd like another one, perhaps a bit perplexing, the Mahabhagwat is one who decorates his body with tilak, and whose name indicates him to be a servant of Krishna by the word das. He's also initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and is expert in worshipping the deity, chanting mantras correctly, performing sacrifices, offering prayers to the Lord, and performing sankirtan. He knows how to serve the personality of Godhead and how to respect a Vaishnava. When one has attained the topmost position of Mahabhagavat, he is to be accepted as Guru and worshipped exactly like Hari, the personality of Godhead. That's Madhyalila 24:330. Okay? Different things are said at different times about what a Mahabhagavat is. Any questions further to this?
I have a question. The first question from the photo, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical things to the effect that the Muttama Adhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnava.
Yeah, we just discussed that. Were you here for that? Anuttama Madhikari can be recognized by his ability to convert many others to Vaishnavism. That might be looked at differently from the ability to make a lot of disciples. Or you might look at it the same way. You say, oh, he's made a lot of disciples. He made them devotees. But what kind of devotees did he make them? And what is his idea? What is his consciousness? Where is he going? Yes?
There is another statement on page 53 from Srila Prabhupada. One should know for certain that without chanting the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one cannot be a proper candidate for advancing Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's also there. This is how you get from where you are to where you're going. That's 53? Yeah. We talked about that. That even a person who is a Kanishtha can become Uttama, going step by step. How does he do it?
Chanting
Hare Krishna. Offense without offense, avoiding the 10 offenses. Yeah? Because he's chanting and he's trying to avoid the 10 offenses, gradually he'll make progress in avoiding the 10 offenses. And as he makes progress, he'll gradually come to the point where he won't commit the 10 offenses. He goes from the offensive stage to the clearing stage, and finally to the pure stage of chanting. At the pure stage of chanting, what's his position? Mahabhagavat, Uttamadhikara. He's chanting without offenses. His heart is pure. Okay. Is it true that a Mahabhagwat is always a first class devotee? Yes. This term Mahabhagwat is a synonym for Uttamadhikari. Mahabhagwat means big devotee. Yeah, I saw some controversy going on about the Hindi translation of some one of Prabhupada's books where they, you know, someone was a big devotee who's described as Mahabhagwat. Because that's what Mahabhagavat literally means, big devotee. Uttam means topmost. Mahabhagavat, yes.
Yeah,
Isn't in the Srimad Bhagavatam it's explained that a certain amount of Mahabhagava, I don't know if you can remember that, like the
Mahajans.
Twelve.
Now that doesn't mean there can't be any other Mahajans. In fact, there was. Prabhupada was sitting with one devotee, and he was reciting Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kopila, Manu. In this way, 12 Mahajans. And the devotee was bright. He said, "And you're the 13th Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "And you're the 14th. Yes.
You just said that Mahabharata is first for the
mm-hmm.
You know the story from Krishna Chaitanya about Tapana Mishra and Chandra Shukla.
Mm-hmm.
It explained that they were
Madhyamadikar.
Yeah,
or Madhyamadikar, or did it say Kanishta? Kanishtadikar. Because they couldn't convince anyone, their Shastric knowledge wasn't very strong. Yeah. We read that even the beginning devotee can be considered a pure devotee if he's following the process of pure devotional service. Right? Did we read that in the devotion? He can be a pure devotee, but see, again, from one point of view, they were considered Kanishta. Why? Yeah, but their Shastric knowledge was weak. Seems from another angle of vision, they had faith. They didn't become Mayavadis. They were convinced about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were unhappy. We're always hearing Hum Brahmasmi, Namo Narayana. Oh, get us out of here. But they couldn't make Prakashananda Saraswati into a Vaishnava. Couldn't make anyone into a Vaishnava, it seems. No one became. They couldn't answer the arguments that were being given. Someone else had to come, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally came and broke up the Mayavadis with arguments. But Tapan Mishra and who was? Chandrasekhar couldn't do it. So, from that angle of vision, they were considered Kanishkas, although they were associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Something else. Okay. So now this point that was brought up, that a Mahabhagavat, when he comes to preach, comes down to the Madhyamadikari platform. Because if you're seeing everyone as perfectly engaged in Krishna's service, where's the preaching? God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. There's nothing to preach about. Everyone's already engaged in Krishna's service. So the Mahabhagavat comes down to the Madhyamadikari level to preach. And I see, you know, you're trying to get your minds around that and figure out, does he calculate, how does he do it? If he's Uttaman, if he's seeing everyone is engaged in service, how can he make this adjustment? Don't ask me. I've never done it. But this is what happens. Yes.
I heard the Maharaj about the one statement that Uttamadikari actually isn't able to, I'm not sure if it's following the regular principles or like perform normal activities because he's so much absorbed in his prema and bhava and all his ecstasies and rolling on the floor and tears. And
so well, then that's again another, you know, another set of criteria. Here it's just indicated that he has, that he sees everyone engaged in the service of Krishna. But there the discussion is that he's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and ecstasy and prema and so on. So that doesn't give you much scope for preaching. Yes?
Is there some other higher grade of Mahabharata? Because sometimes he said, you know, like, all the devotees are doing this for Prabhupada, saying, do you need Mahabharata in your
Mahabharata? First class Mahabharata, second class Mahabharata. Our authorities haven't made those distinctions, but sometimes they have made comparative studies. For example, even in the here we're talking about devotees that we find in this world. Even if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, there are gradations, and that's elaborately discussed in the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narad Muni meets devotees who have higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna, still higher love for Krishna. They're all pure devotees. And at the end he concludes, they're all perfect. They're all perfectly engaged in the service of the Lord. But still, by a comparative study, Arajya Bhagavan, Ramyad Kaschid Apasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Yal Kopiva. Nobody else is like the Gopi. Nobody else is like the Gopi. But by another angle of vision, everybody else is like the gopis. We can't say who's higher and lower. We can't say that Yashoda Mayi is lower than the gopis. Well, you know, they're gopis, but she's only Krishna's mother. That's not how a pure devotee sees. But still he sees, yes, the gopis are in the highest position. So even in the spiritual world, you can make comparative studies. Even in the spiritual world. It's not that these are, after all, categories. Categories are tools for helping us understand something. You know, there are what? How many planets? 9, 11, depending how you look at it. 14 if you go that way, but anyway, there's let's say 11 planets. So that's a category, but it doesn't mean that Mars and Venus are the same, or that Jupiter and Mars are the same, or that the Sun and the Moon are the same, or the Moon and Mercury. They're all individual. They're all different. They all have different features, different influences. If you've got, you know, Mercury in the first, that's different from having the Sun in the first house in astrology. They all belong to the same category, planets. We're talking planets here, not stars, not signs, planets. So they're all planets. But planet is a category. Just like man is a category. Woman is a category. Okay, he's a man, she's a woman. But oh, now that's the end of the story? All men are equal, all women are equal? There are certain features by which one is placed in that category. But not that all men are equal. Despite the United States, what is it, Declaration of Independence? All men are different, you know. Tall ones and short ones and smart ones and idiotic ones and strong ones and weak ones and healthy ones and sick ones. You know, there's all sorts of individual features. Yeah, there's white ones and brown ones and yellow ones. They're all over the place. But there are some characteristics by which we can group all these entities into one category, and we say they're all men. These are all trees. But there's a big difference between a neem tree and a mango tree.
I think in terms of the categories, that we should understand the spirit of why we've got the categories as well. That categories are there to help us advance our Krishna consciousness. Not that we're also walking around the head and
first class. You'll find this in the Goswami literature, in our literature, and actually in scholarly literature in general. You find they take things and they divide them up in categories, and they say, okay, we can look at this and say there are five categories of this. You know, they go into in biology. You know, they say, okay, this thing's got six legs and such, it's an insect. This has these things, it's a mammal. This has these things, it's a, you know, but a. Some mammals are more like insects than they are like other mammals. You know, a little rat is probably closer to a, you know, big insect than it is to an elephant in some ways. You know, I can handle a rat, I can handle a mosquito, I don't think I can handle an elephant. So these are categories. But categories have meaning, they have value. But a category is not, doesn't tell you the whole story. I know everything about this person because I know what category he's in. He's Italian, okay? You know, I do know something now about that person. I know that he fits in a certain category, which is relevant for certain purposes. But it doesn't mean I know everything about this person. Or that he's like all other Italians. What do you expect? He's Italian. No. It's helpful for certain purposes, and for certain other purposes it may not be helpful at all. Now these categories are helpful for, these are important categories, first class, second class, third class devotees. Otherwise Rupa Goswami wouldn't be pointing them out to us. He's only got 11 verses and he's taking one of them to make these distinctions for us. Bhagavata makes the distinction. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So these are important categories. Not just, oh, these are just categories. But categories is what they are. It's not that, well, I know everything, he's first class, and therefore he's like all the other first class devotees. Very distinctions even among first class devotees. That's how we got to this, right? Okay. You have a question? Good.
Yes. Because there's many categories in the spiritual world, mm-hmm. Do we say that there is also migration or progression?
In the spiritual world? No. It's not that there's, these are not sadhakas who are progressing in the spiritual world, that now they're just kind of, well, now he's a servant, but he's working on it, and, you know, give him some time and he'll be a coward boy. Give him a little more time, he, you know, might become like a parental devotee, and give him still more time, maybe he'll make the grade and become a, you know, gopi. It's not like that. In the spiritual world, everything is eternally existing. The relationships are there. It's not that the coward boys are thinking, you know, what do we have to do to become gopis? That's not going on. They may sometimes think, oh, how have the gopis become so fortunate? But they're not thinking, you know, let me do sadhana or something. Although Lakshmi was thinking that way. She's in the married relationship with Krishna. But she wanted to do, she did penances and austerities. How can I get into Vrindavan? How can I get into Vrindavan? How can I get into Vrindavan? But still she couldn't get it. Yes.
So I think in Papa Prabhupada mentioned that the devotee should also know his own position and should not try to imitate it.
Yeah, we're don't look through the purport and look for questions. Look for questions about what we're talking about. Because what, and at the end if we haven't discussed something, but if you go looking through the purport and saying, I've got a question, you know, you're asking about what we're talking about tomorrow. So stay focused here, what we are talking about. Any questions further so far? Yes?
I would also ask for this, like, sometimes these terms like Mahabharata or Jagat Guru, mm-hmm. They're thrown around for everybody.
Yeah, Srila right? Prabhupada, by the way, didn't like this term, Jagat Guru.
Yeah.
Jaya Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada really disliked it. Because every Mayavadi, Tom, Dick, and Harry is Jagat Guru. The word has been so, term has been so devalued by overuse. You know, everybody who's got a long beard and a saffron cloth is Jagat Guru. So it's no praise for Prabhupada to call him Jagat Guru, because everybody's Jagat Guru. It's like the story about the village lady. She got some favor from the governor. The governor somehow or other did something for her, and she was so grateful that she blessed him, that may you become the police chief. Because in her estimation, the chief of police was a big guy. So she blessed the governor, may you become chief of police. So the first class title, he said, was Prabhupada. And Jagat Guru is useless. Even Gurudev, Prabhupada said, which Gurudev? They're saying, Jai Gurudev, Jai. Prabhupada said, which Gurudev? He said, this is impersonal. That's another seminar. ₹700, you can take the kirtan before him. Okay. Although preaching is not meant for a Mahabhagavat can descend to the platform of Madhyamadhikari just to convert others to Vaishnavism. Actually, a Mahabhagavat is fit to spread Krishna consciousness, but he doesn't distinguish where Krishna consciousness should be spread from where it should not. He thinks that everyone is competent to accept Krishna consciousness if the chance is provided. A neophyte and intermediate devotee should always be eager to hear the Mahabhagavat and serve him in every respect. The neophyte and intermediate devotees can gradually rise to the platform of Uttamadhikari and become first-class devotees. With great love and affection, the Mahabhagavat observes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service, and the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagavat knows that everyone is engaged in the Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. On the Mahabhagavat platform, he sees everybody's engaged in the service of Krishna. But for preaching, he comes down to the second level and makes distinctions. Okay? Let's now, in the little bit of time we have still, address this point that someone who's chanted even once is a beginner. Satyaraj bole Vaishnav chiniba kemone ke Vaishnav kahatar samanye lokhani. Satyaraj Khan said, how can I recognize a Vaishnav? Please let me know what a Vaishnav is, what are his common symptoms. Prabhu kohe jar mukhe shuni ekvar Krishna nam she puja Shreshta Shavakar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. She Puja, he's worshipable. Ek Krishna Name Kore Sarva Papa Koi Nava Vida Bhakti Purna Nam Hoite Hoi. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. Now there will be quite an elaborate discussion, which we won't complete today, about this statement that simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one can do everything. Diksha purascharja vidhi apeksha na kore bhiva sparshaya achandala shabare uthare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered. Anushanga kole korez shamsharer troy chitta akarshiya korai krishne premadoy. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Akrishti kritachetasam sumanasam uchchaptanam chamhasam achandala mumukka loka sulabho vasyascha mukti shriya no diksham nachet satkriyam nacha purascharjam managikshate mantro yam rasanas brigade of polity shri krishna nam atmaka. This is Padyavali. The holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It's the annihilator of all sinful reactions, and it's so powerful that except for the dumb who can't chant it, it's readily available to everyone, including the lowest man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it's identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purascharja regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. Padyavali, I don't know where it comes from. Oh wait, I do know where it comes from. Chaitanya Charitamrita 15, Madhya 15, 1:10. Like that verse? Ateva yar muke eka krishna nam sheta vaishnav koriha tahar Shama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnava. Therefore you should offer all respects to him. Yannama, what is that? Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. On his tongue there's Krishna nam, and we have to offer him all respect. Manasa. At least in our minds, we have to think, this person is chanting Hare Krishna. He's a Vaishnava. Chanting Hare Krishna, this is Krishna. Krishna is on his tongue. Adriyeta, one should respect this person because he has Krishna on his tongue. He's chanted Hare Krishna once. He must be a Vaishnava. Yes.
In this world, even if
I'm done chanting,
Krishna is
described. That's Uttama Adhikari vision. You can say, well, everyone's ultimately a Vaishnava. Every living entity is a Vaishnava. And they're all engaged in Krishna's service. That's Uttama Adhikari vision. So, we're not Uttama Adhikaris. It's mentioned that this advice in this verse of Upadeshamrita is to guide the Madhyamadikaris. So on the Madhyamadikari platform, I may not see that everyone is engaged in Krishna's service equally, but I'll see this person has chanted the holy name of Krishna. He's a Vaishnava. I have to offer him respect. Manasadriyeta. Maybe I'll see how much more I can do in 5 minutes. The holy name is so strong that even initiation is not required. In Madhya Lila, 15th chapter, text 108, Prabhupada gives a detailed discussion of Diksha and its importance, and he quotes Srila Jiva Goswami. It is Srimad Bhagavatam's opinion that the process of deity worship is not actually necessary, just as the specific prescriptions of the Pancharatra and other scriptures do not have to be followed. The Bhagavatam enjoins that even without practicing deity worship, one can achieve the complete success of human life by any of the other devotional processes, such as simply offering oneself at the Lord's feet for his protection. Nonetheless, Vaishnavas following the path of Sri Narada and his successors endeavor to establish a personal relationship with the Lord by receiving the grace of a bona fide spiritual master through initiation. And in this tradition, the devotees are obliged at the time of initiation to begin in deity worship. Although deity worship is not essential, the material conditioning of most candidates for devotional service requires that they engage in this activity. When we consider their bodily and mental conditions, we find that the character of such candidates is impure and their minds are agitated. Therefore, to rectify this material conditioning, the great sage Narada and others have at different times recommended various kinds of regulations for deity worship. The idea here is the holy name can do everything. Just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. That will, you don't need anything else. But can you do it? Initiation is required when we want to worship the deity. Diksha. We get into diksha, after all, a regulative principle. I'm being asked now, because I'm initiated, to follow some regulative principles, to worship in a certain way. Why do I need this? I got the holy name, that's enough. But, considering our bodily and mental conditions, considering what sort of people we are, can we just sit and chant Hare Krishna? Then Prabhupada quotes, "O best of the Brahmanas, even without initiation, preliminary purification, or acceptance of the renounced order, one can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy name." In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon, and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The offenseless chanting of the holy name does not depend on the initiation process. Although initiation may depend on purascharja or purascharana, that means some preliminary purifying activities, follow these rules, know this. The actual chanting of the holy name does not depend on purascharja vidhi or the regulative principles. If one chants the holy name even once without committing an offense, he attains all success. Note, without offense. Who will chant without offenses? Prabhupada says, if one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Clear? CC Madhya 15 108. Yep.
I mean, so this that if there were so many books which are saying the chanting for the holy name, it is not necessary initiation.
Right. All you have to do is chant defenselessly.
I heard one quote, I don't know from where, that if you don't take the mantra from a bona fide sampradaya.
Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpalamata.
So, how you are going to chant the holy name before that you didn't pass the initiation and take the holy name?
No, I heard it from a pure devotee or somehow or other. I got the holy name enough. Let's say I heard it from in the Sampradaya. I came to the Hare Krishna temple. There were all these people chanting Hare Krishna. They were all, you know, Gaudiya Vaishnavas and properly initiated. I heard the holy name. That was enough for me. I took it within my heart. I chanted day and night. Enough. You don't need to do anything else. But who will do that? We gave that example, Prabhupada gave that example, that Rabindranath Tagore. He was brilliant, that's all. He didn't require to go to Oxford and take tests and sit in classes or anything. All he had to do was win the Nobel Prize and they gave him a degree. That's proof that you don't have to go to college. That you can get a degree without even attending school. But how many of us will do that? Prabhupada said that because the Westerners have difficulty concentrating, I've reduced it to 16 rounds. We can't even chant 16 rounds. We think it's really tough to complete our 16 rounds every day. It's a major undertaking. For Haridas Thakur, it wasn't a major undertaking. So in principle, we should understand that the holy name is so powerful that simply by the association of the holy name, one can get everything. Nothing else is needed. But in practice, we're recommended to follow all these rules and regulations. You know, you don't even have to follow any rules and regulations. You just have to chant the holy name without offense. You don't have to get up at 4 in the morning. You don't have to go see the deities. You don't have to worship Tulsi. You don't have to live in Vrindavan. You don't have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have to do any of these things. You just have to be completely sold out to the holy name and you'll get everything. But are we going to do that? No. But we should know that all this potency is there. Because of Vindatan Nama Namina. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna Nama. So again, from one angle of vision, no, you don't even need initiation. And from another angle of vision, without initiation, your connection with Krishna isn't even established. Therefore, we saw as a practical fact that Srila Prabhupada never encouraged, just chant Hare Krishna, forget about initiation, you don't need any of this other stuff, that's just formality. There was one lady who was chanting Hare Krishna. She was a little famous. You know that lady, what was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was preaching to her? Alice Coltrane. And some devotee, she was chanting Hare Krishna. And one devotee was having a discussion with Prabhupada. We want to encourage people to do that. You know, just chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, but they must come in the process. He said, otherwise it will become Namaparad. This is a process to be initiated, to follow the regulative principles, associate with devotees, first have some faith, interest, associate with devotees, follow the rules and regulations under the guidance of the spiritual master, free the heart from all unwanted things. But otherwise it will become Namapara. All we have to do is chant. Yes, but if we don't come within the process, it will become Namapara. Our pure devotional service will become Sahajism or Mayavad or something else. Utpataya eva kalpate will just be a disturbance. Shruti Smriti Purana without following the rules and regulations, our devotional service will just be a disturbance to everyone. We have run out of time. Please save your question for tomorrow. We will continue this verse tomorrow. Monday, not tomorrow. You're off for 2 days. Forget everything. You'll come back Monday with all of this deeply imprinted within your memory, and we will continue from there. Prabhupada ki jai.